So turn to Psalms chapter 15, and I'm going to do a teaching today entitled, I entitled this, How to Walk in God's Blessings. And I just want to let everybody know here, and most, if you've come to Harvest Fellowship Church before, you know that we teach about God's grace and that God is a good God and He's a good God all the time. And everybody said, amen. So God is a good Father and He wants to bless you. But I'm going to teach you today why some Christians are not walking in the blessings of God. Okay? So there's going to be some things we're going to learn here in a little bit. You can take notes there on the back of your bulletin. And it's 1 through 7. Got 7 points today that we're going to do here in just a little bit. But I'm going to kind of create a foundation here before we get to those seven, the seven things that I want to share with you today. And so we're going to, then at the end of the message, before I get ahead of myself, we're going to baptize Mary Carmen this morning. Give Mary a big hand clap. Yeah, I can't wait for that. And so that's kind of how this is all going to go. But I want to lay a foundation before we get started of that you're blessed. Because some of you are probably saying, I'm not blessed, Pastor Mark. I love God, I'm saved, but I'm not blessed. Well, you are. And you need to realize that. You need to have that revelation that you're a blessed child of God. All right, and this starts in Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 through 3. We'll get to Psalms chapter 15 here in just a second. In Genesis 12, verses 2 through 3, it says, and this is talking about every one of you in here have a great, 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 great granddaddy, and his name's Abraham, okay? And we are a part of the Abrahamic covenant today as Gentiles, and I'll show you this. But in Genesis 12, verses 2 through 3, this is where God spoke to Abraham, and he said, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So you're blessed today because of Abraham's obedience. Now, if you study the life of Abraham, you're going to find out that he did a lot of things wrong, but he was still blessed by God. Meaning we're fallen people, right? Well, that's why we need a Savior. We need Jesus. But even in that fallen state, and you're saved by grace through faith, right? But you can still be blessed. And everybody said, amen. All right. Now, we're going to jump to Galatians chapter 3, and I'm going to show you what Apostle Paul said about this whole, what we just read in Genesis. He said, understand then that those who have faith, look at somebody and say, I have faith, okay, are children of Abraham. So you're a child of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles, that's us, by faith, and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. He redeemed us in order that the blessings, talking about Jesus, given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. Did everybody say, I'm Abraham's seed? And heirs according to the promise, okay? So that's salvation, that's healing, that's blessings, that's prosperity, spirit, soul, body. Every area of life, God wants to bless you. And everybody said, I hope you're getting that. And so now, this is where we're going to start talking about why some Christians, you're saved, you're going to heaven, but why some Christians do not walk in the blessings of God. So I'm going to show you a few more scriptures here. Deuteronomy 28, verse 2 says, all these blessings will come on you and accompany you if, everybody say if you obey the Lord your God. You might be saying, well, Pastor Mark, this is Old Testament. We'll explain that here in just a second. How many of you believe it's the whole Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, right? Okay. Job 36, verse 11 says, if they obey and serve him, talking about God, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. I don't know about you, but I want to spend my days in prosperity and my years in pleasures. But there's a key to that. If you obey and serve God, you have to obey and serve God. And I know some of you are already pushing back because you're going, Pastor Mark, I thought you were a grace teacher. Yes, I am. I'm a grace teacher. Ephesians 2, verse 8 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. This is my burden for this message today. There are many Christians that have received salvation, but they're living defeated lives. They're not walking in all that Jesus paid for. Because you're saved by grace, right, through faith. That's how you're saved. But you're blessed. You receive blessings from God when you obey what he tells you to do. And you walk in obedience. And so it's really simple. And so I'm going to give you a few more scriptures out of the New Testament so you can see this. Galatians 5, verse 7 says, the Apostle Paul talking to the church in Galatia, and he said, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? He said, you guys were doing great when you were walking in obedience, but now you're getting out of obedience. 1 Peter 4, verse 17 says, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? That's what Peter was telling the church to all of us today. Then James, who was in the book of James, who was the half-brother of Jesus, he taught us this. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. That's in James 1:22. He goes on to say in verse 25, doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So blessed comes from being obedient to the word of God. Is everybody getting that? Have I drove that point home good enough? All right. And just a few more before we get to one more before we get to two more before we get to Psalms 15. James 8, verses 31 through 32. This is where Jesus said, If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So if you want to be free, then you must abide in God's word. All right? There's an if there. Everybody see that? Everybody wants freedom, and I want to be free in Jesus. You got to abide in his word. You got to love his word. Now, let's go to Psalms chapter 15. Well, one more scripture. Mark 9, verse 23, and this is Jesus speaking again. He says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. So there's that if again. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. There's that if connected to the being obedient so you can have the blessings of God upon your life, okay? Now, we're going to go to Psalms chapter 15, and I'm going to read it first. I'm going to read it out of a couple translations, and the first one I'm going to read it out of is out of the NIV, and it's just five verses long, Psalms chapter 15. It's a psalm of David, and this is what he says. He said, Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? He whose walk is blameless and who does not... And he who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart and has no slander on his tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow man, who despises a vile man but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps his oath even when it hurts, who lends his money without usury and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. All right? And so there it is in Psalms chapter 15. If you want to be blessed of God, then you have to do these things. Now I'm going to read it out of the Message translation because I like how it reads. Psalms chapter 15 out of the Message Bible says, God who gets invited to dinner at your place? How do we get on your guest list? Walk straight, act right, tell the truth, don't hurt your friend, don't blame your neighbor, despise the despicable. Keep your word even when it costs you. Make an honest living. Never take a bribe. You'll never get blacklisted if you live like this. And I thought that was so good out of the Message Bible. I don't want to be on God's blacklist. Amen? I want to walk in obedience. I want to be one of those believers that walks in obedience. Now, I did a study on every translation, read a lot of translations of Psalms chapter 15. And I'm going to give you, came up with, set out of this Psalms chapter 15, I came up with seven attributes that we all need working in our lives, okay? This is where the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 comes from. These are seven attributes that God honors and blesses, okay? I had somebody tell me this week that they had made a decision in their business to do something, and when they texted it to me and they just said, be in prayer for us because we have made this decision to do this. And I text back to him, and this is where this thought process began in me for this message today, was I said, get ready because God's fixing to honor you for making that decision. God's fixing to bless you for making that decision. Because they had to make this decision by faith, not knowing what's next. So it was a decision they based on faith. And then, God, I'm honoring you, and I'm trusting you that you're going to take care of us. And I text back, God's going to honor and bless you guys. And so, but these attributes that I'm fixing to show you, I was telling Jade on the way in when we were praying and talking about this message, it's really what's going on in the inside of you. It's your character. God's really concerned what's going on in here, in your heart, your character. Some of you in here, when I give you this list, here in just a little bit, you're gonna find yourself, why do I always lean towards this way? Well, that can be what the Bible calls as iniquity, which means it's something that's been in your family line for generations, and it's something that you need to overcome. And how you do that is just getting it underneath the blood of Jesus. Like, it's real simple. God, I recognize that this trait is in my family, and I'm bringing it underneath the blood because it stops with me, and I'm not passing it down to another generation. And everybody said, amen. And so that's simple, and that's how it's cut off. Because I've got a story that I want to share that goes along with that, because you may feel like there's some things that, you know, we all have our own struggles, right? Okay? And the things that we struggle with, and it's because of generational things, it's, you know, things that we're going through, whatever. But thank God for His grace. God's love and grace covers all that, all right? But here's the seven attributes that God honors and blesses, and these are the things that God wants to get to working in your life and in your spirit, man. And they're these. I'm going to go ahead and give them to you right up front, and then we're going to talk about each one for just a little bit. The seven attributes that God honors and blesses are integrity, humility, faithfulness, uprightness, generosity, loyalty, and walking in love. That all came out of Psalms chapter 15, all right? When you go study this, and I encourage you to go read that Psalm chapter 15, those five little verses in all different translations of the Bible. It's pretty neat. But those are the seven attributes that come out of that Psalms 15. Integrity, humility, faithfulness, uprightness, generosity, loyalty, and walking in love. Some of those things on the list are lacking today. Integrity, wow. Here's another one, faithfulness, loyalty. All these are dying attributes. And as Christians, here's what I want to get across to every one of us in here. As a Christian, we ought to be marked by those things. Amen. And when you're marked by those things, then the blessings of God are upon your life. And then guess what? You're a walking advertisement for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because people are going to like, man, I want what he got. Man, I want what she got. And it's because you're walking in these attributes. All right, here's attribute number one, is integrity. And the best way I can tell you what the definition of integrity is, I'm just going to give you several. It means honesty, doing right, living right, being truthful. Everybody get it, okay? That's integrity. I'm going to tell you something that happened in my life. Made me think when I was studying this, it made me think of a story of someone I dealt with. And I was dealing with this person, with this guy who was a Christian, okay? And this is where I go back to this iniquity thing that runs in families sometimes. He went to church. I'm not questioning salvation. I believe that he is saved. But in my dealings with this guy, I started getting some red flags. You ever had red flags before when you're dealing with some, even Christian people, okay? I started getting some red flags. I was like, man, something's just off here. I know he loves the Lord, and he's a Christian, but I'm just getting red flags, something's off. And so I was talking to someone that knew this guy's dad. And I asked this person, because he didn't know that I was having dealings with him, and I asked this person, I said, what was his dad like? And I was shocked by the response that I got, but I still remember this to this day. And this is what this person said that his dad was like. He said his dad would steal your hubcaps off of your vehicle on Saturday night and preach the word to you on Sunday morning. I was like, whoa. Guys, that's somebody not walking in integrity, right? And that's not a good advertisement for Jesus, right? Okay, this is, and they're in churches everywhere, right? But don't judge Jesus based on people like that. And everybody said, there's just something that they need to work out. And what it did for me, guys, I want to tell you what it did for me. It actually gave me, I was able to have grace for this guy after that, after finding that out, because this was something he was struggling with. It was an iniquity that was in his family that he was struggling with. And I'm praying that he's going to get that broke in his life. And so, because we all have things that we're dealing with, and everybody said, amen. All right, here's number two. is humility. Humility is huge with the Lord. 1 Peter 5, verses 5 through 6 says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. And what I love about this, I heard one pastor say one time, he said, you know what? He said, the Bible teaches us that we're supposed to humble ourselves. And if you don't, then life will do it for you. It's just programmed in. And so we need to learn how to walk in humility. You know, every morning I drive in on Sunday morning, and I'm just thankful that God is using me to be a pastor, because I'm expendable, guys. You know, I can't walk up here and say I'm all that in a bag of chips and, you know, supersized and all, because I'm not. And I'm just honored that God chose me to be a pastor, and I'm honored to be your pastor as well. And I love you guys, and I want to bring the Word of God, the truth to you. And I just want to walk in humility at all times, because God says that he opposes the prideful but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. There are families, you may know some family members, somebody may be sitting next to you this morning, that they struggle with pride. Here's the deal, we all struggle with pride. We all do. And, you know, pride's like bad breath, you know. Everybody knows you have it except for you, you know, kind of a thing. And but we need to learn how to humble ourselves. And how you do that is just being thankful to God, really. Just thanking him for all of your blessings. All right, here's number three, is faithfulness. Faithfulness. Proverbs 20, verse 6. This is one of the questions in the Bible. Look at this. Many claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful person who can find? Even God's asking, who can find a faithful person? Proverbs 28, verse 20, because we're talking about how to walk in God's blessings, says a faithful person will be richly blessed. And everybody said, amen. God wants you to be blessed, but you need to walk in faithfulness. And I had a guy one time, he was all the time wanting me to tell him the next great big revelation, you know, and so he'd always, what's God speaking to you? What's God speaking to you? And I finally just told him one day, I was like, Lord, this guy keeps coming to me and asking me to, what's God telling you? And he said, just tell him you're being faithful. Because there's some days I don't hear from God. I don't have these lightning bolts from heaven. I love them when they happen, right? But not every day that does that happen. And so on those days it's not happening, you just be faithful. Just keep walking with God, faithfully walking with God. And I finally just told this guy, I just said, I'm just being faithful. He was like, man, that, you know, you could just tell by his expressions, like, that's boring. And I'm like, no, that's not boring. That's what brings the blessings of God in your life, is just being faithful and walking with him. And if God needs to direct my steps, he can talk to me. He knows that. And he has before. But there's just those days when you're walking with God, you need to stay faithful. Look at somebody and say, just stay faithful. This is not a time. We're living in a day and hour, and it's always been the day and hour. It's never a time to be unfaithful. Just keep with God. There's been people that's come in here, and I'm just going to use this example as a pastor, because I'm a pastor, so that's where all my stories come from. But I've had people come up to me and, Pastor Mark, we're with you. We'll help you do anything. We'll serve. We'll wash the toilets. We'll do whatever, and next Sunday they're gone. And you're like, I'm just wanting somebody to be faithful to church. You know, and I know we're talking about summertime here, I know people have vacations and all that, and that's okay. But you need to be faithful to the house of God. And as you're faithful, and there's going to be those Sundays, I'm going to tell you guys, there's going to be Sundays where you don't want to come. I have those Sundays, but I'm staying faithful. and so, you know, stay faithful in your church attendance. Stay faithful. And if you can't come every Sunday, I understand that people's got jobs and they work. Some have to work on Sundays. I understand all those things. But definitely stay faithful to God every day, you know. And part of that is church attendance and getting in the Word of God and all those things. So stay faithful. Look at somebody and say, stay faithful. All right, here's another one, uprightness. And this really goes with integrity too. But it's Psalms 25, verse 21. It says, may integrity and uprightness protect me. And I'm just going to tell you this right now. If you're a person of integrity, which I hope you are, and you're a person that walks in the uprightness of God, which I hope you are, when you walk that way, that protects you. God will bless those that bless you. And it's, what do we read in Deuteronomy? And he says, and he'll curse those that curse you. God will be your vindicator. God will take care of you. And it says, because my hope, Lord, is in you. God will take care of you. I've told Jada so many times, you know, in business and doing things, I want to be able to go to bed at night and lay my head down and rest. So I want to walk in integrity and uprightness before God and before man. Because I came home and told Jada, I was like, I've talked about people and said, I don't know how that guy sleeps at night because he's so crooked. Anybody ever dealt with somebody like that? You know, and then sometimes they're sitting in church on Sunday morning. You're like, my gosh, you need to get saved. You know, and of course, you know, we don't, and then we can't question people's salvation because that's not our job. But we need to, as Christians, I hope you're getting this morning. I know I'm rambling up here a little bit. But guys, these attributes need to be in us so that we can bring people into the kingdom of God. And when you're not a person that walks in uprightness and integrity, I'm telling you what, please, for the love of God, take the bumper sticker, the Jesus, off of your car, right? And take the T-shirt off, because you're not a good advertisement for the Lord. We need to get better at this, guys. The church is not, I'm talking about the big C now. We need to rise up in this area so that people are like, man, the Church of Jesus Christ is a force to reckon with, and we're not. Because our people, the people in the church, are not walking in these attributes. We have got to start walking in these. And everybody said, amen. All right, here's another attribute that we all need is generosity. We need to be more generous. Proverbs 11, verses 24 through 25 says, give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper, and those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. So be a generous person. And I'm telling you, if you haven't started tithing yet, that's where it starts at. And really, you're not really giving. That's you're paying your tithe. But what that does, it does a work in your heart to become like God, to be a giver and to bless other people. All right, so be generous. Number six is loyalty. Loyalty. Attribute number six is loyalty. Definition is a strong feeling of support or allegiance. Now, I'll go back to being a pastor and talking about, you know, people coming in here and oh, I'm with you, Pastor, you know, I'm ready to serve and do all this. And there, you know, that loyalty thing is not there. It's kind of like faithfulness. And the Bible talks about this, guys. The Bible says do not lay hands on anyone suddenly. And that means don't place somebody in leadership in a church quickly because you don't know them yet. They need to be proven through their faithfulness and loyalty. And I've also learned the hard way, and I'm just telling you this in case you're a business owner or whatever. Sometimes most of the time, it's not the talented individual. It's just the person that's the faithful, loyal one that you need to promote. And everybody said, amen, okay? You really need to test them out with that. And then number seven, this is how all this works together, is walking in love. Guys, I'm telling you, the big C, the church, we need to be the best at walking in love. And I'm gonna say this from a pulpit today. I'm gonna tell you what, the world is better at walking in love than the church is. Don't shout me down when I'm teaching good this morning. We are known by and large as a church. The church, the big C, is strife. They're always fighting. People leaving churches and, you know, and fighting and all the stuff and the strife, and they're fighting over the color of the walls and the, you know, the color of the carpet and all that stuff. And it gets out into communities, and like everybody's just like, why do I need more strife in my life? I don't want to go to that church. I don't want to be that church. Amen. I want us to walk in love. And love, the Bible says, love covers a multitude of sins. Love never fails. And also our faith works by love. And Jesus said in John 13, verse 35, he said, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So I want you to look at the person next to you and say, by faith I love you. Love you by faith. No, we have to love each other, okay? By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. All right, I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And did everybody learn something this morning? Okay. Everybody going to work on those seven attributes and walk in them? All right. All right, I want you, everyone, to bow your heads in here this morning. I just want to lead you in this prayer. We do this every Sunday because I don't know who's here and then also who's going to be watching online, and we also put this on our radio ministry as well. But I want to find out, make sure that you know the Lord before you leave today. And it's real simple. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul told us in his gospel, he says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And then he said in verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in this prayer. It's called the prayer of salvation, where you call upon the name of Jesus. And even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. Amen. And if that's the first time you prayed that prayer, I want to welcome you to the family of God. And the very next step that you need to do is to follow the Lord in water baptism.